Every week we stand after the homily to profess our faith in the Creed. And each week we say that we believe Jesus Christ is true God, which means that he is all-powerful, omnipotent. His power is without any limit. And I want to begin with that statement, that element of our faith, because to reflect upon this gospel, I want to focus in with you on really what provokes this whole encounter with the woman who comes to our Lord. There's a lot in this gospel, so many different ways we could go, but what provokes it all, what it's all rooted in, is the working of a demon. And so I say, I think it's important that we begin with this article of our faith that Christ is all powerful, because we literally have nothing at all to fear when our hearts are open in faith to him. It's why he says over and over throughout the Gospels, do not be afraid. He calls us to a certain kind of fearlessness as his disciples. We heard that exhortation of his just last week in the Gospel when he walked on the water in the midst of the storm and told his apostles not to be afraid. But what happened here to this woman's daughter is real. This is another article of our faith. She came to the Lord calling out, "Have pity on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." There are those who would read this sort of thing and dismiss it as ancient superstition. But listen to these words from Peter Kreeft in a contemporary commentary on the gospel. He says, if you do not believe that demons exist or that demonic possession exists, you simply disagree with Jesus, the Bible, the church, and all the saints. Those are some pretty heavy hitters to disagree with. We even profess our faith in that reality as well each week in the Creed. We say early on that God the Father made all things visible and invisible. The invisible creatures are the angels, pure spirits, they have no body, some of whom turned away from God through sin. These are the demons. And they now seek to draw us, God's visible creatures, embodied spirits that we are, the demon's desire is to draw us away from Christ. The church takes the demonic seriously. That's why every diocese throughout the world has at least one priest who is trained as an exorcist. It's why you will even see in many examinations of conscience questions about whether you've used a Ouija board or tarot cards, because these and other occult practices can open us to the influence of the demons, whose primary desire, again, is to lead us away from Christ, to lead us away from his offer of life and salvation. Now, actual demonic possession, while real, is rare, and it's unlikely, please God, that any of us will experience such a thing. But the more common tactic of the devil and the other demons is much more subtle. They prefer to remain unrecognized. And so they come at us in more quiet ways through temptation to sin, always working to draw us away from Christ. That's the bad news. We need to know the bad news, not to, again, cause us fear, not to discourage us, but simply so that we can be on our guard, so we can be aware that we have an enemy. We are in a battle. It would be a problem if a soldier who was deployed to battle didn't believe there was actually an enemy. Wasn't aware of the enemy. But here's the good news. As much as the fallen angels seek us, try to lead us away from Christ. Even more, Jesus Christ himself seeks us. And along with him, so do the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so does that army of good angels, including one of which, who is your own personal guardian angel. Not to mention our Blessed Mother and all the saints. Today's gospel makes clear that Christ is all-powerful over evil. All it took for him was to speak a mere word to this woman, some distance, mind you, from the girl who was possessed, and she was healed. So great is the power of Christ. How do we tap into that power so as to always be guarded from those who seek to draw us away? Here's the most important line in the gospel, the wisdom for the battle that you and I fight. O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. You see, faith, simply put, means being open to God. Being open to the one who is all powerful, being open to the one for whom even the greatest fallen angel is no threat. Before God, even the greatest fallen angel is a mere creature whom God is all powerful over. Faith is what we need. St. Paul, at one point in his letter to the Ephesians, speaks of faith as a shield, the shield that keeps us safe. How then do we remain strong in faith? Most fundamentally, it means living a sacramental life. The sacraments are the primary conduits of grace into our lives. In Holy Communion, our faith is nourished. That faith that we received at baptism is strengthened by that sacred food of Holy Communion. And so we should seek to receive Holy Communion often and worthily. And regular confession, the sacrament of penance, heals that faith of the effects of sin, because sin weakens and wounds our faith. Many exorcists, in fact, attest to the fact that the greatest safeguard against the work of the demons in our lives is simply frequent confession. That's the place where their power is overcome by the power of Christ. And along with the sacraments, daily prayer helps us grow in faith. In fact, that's another point, really, in today's gospel. This is an image of prayer, this dialogue between our Lord and this woman. Jesus is not being cruel to her when he first ignores her and then speaks of giving the children's food to the dogs. He's calling forth from her greater faith. Her prayers, if you will, are going unanswered initially in order to draw forth an even greater act of faith from this woman, because he knew that the potential was there within her soul. Personally, I think one of the greatest forms of daily prayer for growth in faith is the Holy Rosary. What a beautiful practice so many have of a daily rosary, where we join the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the model, the perfect model of faith, in pondering the various mysteries of our faith. The rosary is this great prayer for growth in faith. Our Lord and his church take the demons seriously because they want us to be aware of the enemy who is seeking to harm us. And so too should we take these things seriously, but above all, we should seek to grow in faith, in that openness to the power of God, which is a sure safeguard against the wiles of the evil one. So let us ask our Lord here at this Holy Mass for that grace, the grace to grow in faith, that we might spend this week ahead imitating the persevering great faith of the Canaanite woman in the gospel, that we too might be worthy to hear it said of us by Christ, great is your faith. St. Patrick.